When I was in Taiwan living at the Holy See Nunciature, the Holy See Nunciature is the Vatican Embassy. Monsignor Russell, he said that in the Vatican Diplomatic Service, which is all comprised of priests, the priests are aware who is made nuncio first and what country they get sent to. So a nuncio is the Vatican, the Pope's ambassador to a given country and always becomes an archbishop. So the thinking is, if a priest in the Vatican Diplomatic Service gets made nuncio archbishop by age 49, well, then he's one of the best. And if he gets sent to a first world country, let's say like England, rather than a third world country, perhaps in Africa, then he's, again, one of the best. Now, when Monsignor Russell told me that the priests are aware who gets made nuncio first and what country they get sent to, I said, really? The guys are concerned about that kind of stuff? He said, don't tell me that doesn't happen back home. Because in Vancouver, you know, priests are aware which priests get sent to the good parishes, the flourishing ones, the big ones, and the which priests get to the sent to the dying ones. And I realized, yeah, he's right. We are aware of who's regarded as the more fruitful, the more successful, and the more holy. We all size each other up very quickly. We all assess who's doing well. One time we were downstairs in the parish hall. We had this large gathering, and we had a visitor. He says to me, who's that? And he pointed at one of you. I won't tell you who. And I told him your name. And he said, that guy's the leader, that guy's the mover, that guy gets stuff done. He's right. So we're always comparing ourselves with other people. We typically compare ourselves with people at the same stage in life. So I compare myself with other very young, good guys. The parents, you'll compare yourself. You'll compare your children, how they behave to other children. We are aware who's more successful, who's stronger. The women, you're more aware who's beautiful, who looks younger, and it starts very young. One time I was on this youth retreat. I was a priest, and I just overheard these grade 7 girls. They were complimenting each other on how beautiful they were. So one of the grade 7 girls says to another, oh, you're so pretty. And I was surprised. I said, wow, when I was in grade 7, we never talked about that, right? The guys never talked about that. I always knew my brothers were uglier than I was, and that was that. So it wasn't an issue, but then I thought about it. No way, when I was in grade 7, that's right, I knew who was more popular. I didn't know who got more attention. So we might think that the first parable of the gospel about where to sit at the wedding banquet, well, that doesn't apply to us because that's rooted in an honor-based society. We don't use words anymore like honor and shame. No, this parable does apply to us because we are aware who's better, who is more talented, who's more successful. It starts off, when Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. So Jesus isn't saying there is no place of honor. There is place of honor. Some people are more distinguished. Our culture likes to say everyone's equal. You're just as good as everyone else. Well, that's only partially true, right? We now have, you know, at schools, you know, participation awards. What? Really? And then a teacher will proclaim, trying to be nice, trying to protect everyone's feelings. There are no winners and losers. Everyone's a winner. Not true. It is true that we're all equal in dignity, but we're not all equal in accomplishment. We're not all equal in virtue. We're not all equal in ability. So we don't see who's better. We don't see 100%. We can't even see ourselves. So because of that, Jesus says, do not sit down at the place of honor. In other words, be humble. Some people might be better than we are. Be gracious in losing. Acknowledge that some people might be more talented, they might work harder than we are, and let someone else be the judge. So real honor, it doesn't come from ourselves. Real honor must be received. And don't seek it, okay? It's like gratitude. Gratitude's very important. I hope we all say thank you, but don't expect it. If you expect gratitude, if you expect honor, it might come, but don't wait for it, because then you'll start basing your self-worth on those two gifts. Jesus continues, but when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Let's just focus on that first command. Go and sit down at the lowest place. So one of the tests of humility is when we're not surprised if people criticize us. So let's say we try really hard at something, and let's say even ourselves, we try at something and we fail. Are you surprised? Maybe you're not that humble. Someone corrects you. Let's say someone even just insults you in a minor way. Are you surprised? Now look at this following saying. It says from a great spiritual author, he says, he who honestly puts himself in the last place is not astonished when others put him there too. Wow. Think about that. Jesus just said, take the last place. If we really believe we're in the last place, why does it surprise us if people put us there? Now, of course, that doesn't mean we should let ourselves be abused. We should teach our kids, okay, you should be taken advantage of. We're not saying that. What we're saying is we're trying to let that unhealthy pride in us die. So, if someone criticizes me, I'm not going to lose my peace. I'm going to stay up at night thinking, don't be soft. Now, we're not going to let it bother us, but we are going to work to defend ourselves, not because our ego has been damaged. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Do you see the difference? You stand up for yourself. You do the right thing. You work for justice, but not because it hurt your ego, but because it's the right thing to do. Don't lose your peace. Next, Jesus says, when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Okay, that means you can't reject the elevation. If the friend says, move up higher, don't reject it. So we shouldn't reject compliments if they are made sincerely. Ask Deacon Andrew to do the impression of how Chinese people, whenever they get a compliment, he'll, there's a funny impression of how they go, oh, no. It's a really funny impression, but it's in some of our culture. Now, here's the thing. If I give you a compliment and it's sincere, it's actually an act of love. And so if you reject my compliment that I made sincerely, that I really believe about you, you're in some way rejecting my love. So here's a better way, a more Christian way. Whenever someone compliments us, you just say three things. You just say, thank you, it's a gift, praise God. Okay, because when you say those three things, thank you acknowledge the love, it's a gift, which it is, and then you direct the goodness to God, who's the giver. Now that's really good. That's a much better way. And let's go back to that command of Jesus. He says, go and sit down at the lowest place, but don't do it in order to get raised up. Right? So sometimes we put ourselves in positions, we don't want to get noticed, but deep down in our heart, we really are hoping people will notice us. Okay, so beware of that subtle trap. Father Francis Martin, he says, we do not take the lowest place hoping to get a promotion. The last place is the promotion because we share it with Jesus, who said of himself, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Wow. The last place is the promotion. Jesus chose the last place. So think about it this way. We go to downtown Vancouver for a wedding reception at a really nice hotel. Let's say 400 people. So 40 tables, 10 people each. That's a big wedding reception. And still in our culture, you notice how the head table with the bride and the groom, they're still elevated on a stage, right? Yeah. And then we all get our seating assignments depending on how much the bride and groom like us. So the family is always closer to the head table. And all of us are at the back, right? And when we go up for the buffet, we go up in table order. So people eat, and while we're on the outside, we're smiling, we have a good time. On the inside, we're hungry. And you're getting impatient. And so you're feeling, no, why don't I get, and they're taking all the good food. And then we look at the back corner of the room, table 40, and you see Jesus there. Last table, and he's not even sitting down. He's standing up and he's serving. And he's going to eat later. You remember when Jesus said at the Last Supper, the kings of the Gentiles lorded over them, but not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. To take the last place is to serve. To take the last place is to serve. And Vatican Council II said, to serve is to reign. To serve is the king. So Jesus, even though he's God, he humbled himself and he took the form of a slave. St. Paul says this in Philippians. He took the form of a slave and he became obedient unto death, death on a cross. And because he became obedient, God highly exalted him. And he gave him the name above every other name, so that at Jesus' name every knee must bend, in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth. Okay, so with this in mind, I want to let you all know that for the past 2 months, we had the Sabbath summer this season where we focused on celebrating God and resting in him. Okay, that season is now over.
Whoa.
It's true. But every season that we do, it always continues because you take what you learn from that season and you incorporate it into your life. So every Sunday is a Sabbath. So keep on taking the Sabbath, rest in God, and celebrate him. So just so you all know the big picture of what's going on here in the parish, we always focus on seasons now so that we can move the parish culture in a certain direction. So just to review, we've had these seasons so far. We've had Invitational Church focused on hospitality. Then we've had Eucharistic Heart, Adoration. Break the Silence, Devout Conversation. Sabbath Summer Rest. Now we're starting a new season for 3 months called Made for Mission, because Jesus is on the most important of missions. The Father sends his Son on the mission to bring humanity back to him. There's no greater mission than this. And we actually get a share in this mission. So Jesus is always serving us. He's always giving. And you receive so much, and then you're called to serve too. So that's what we want to do for the next 3 months. This is going to help us achieve our parish vision, the third part, to love like Jesus. Now, we're all made for mission, but we're all made in a different way. When I was a seminarian up at the monastery, at the Abbey, an old monk, Father Augustine, was thinking about something, and one day he comes up to me and he grabs my arm, and he says, Justin,
yes, Father,
did you know that Saint Benedict says every man has his gift? I was like, no, Father. Well, you should. Now, it's really interesting. He is thinking about that. Every man and woman has their proper gift. Huh. So each of us will contribute to the mission of Jesus in a different way, and this is very powerful. We don't have the same gifts. Some gifts will be greater, but all gifts are necessary and all serve to build up the body in a different way. So we're going to be talking for the next 3 months about mission, service, and different gifts, and this is a working list of the different gifts we will be Some of them we will be covering. So you just get this sense of how vast it is, of all the different gifts God gives us. And when we find the way we are meant to serve, and it will be sacrificial, but it will be joyful, and it will bear so much fruit if we can identify this. So my dream is we can identify where all of us are called to serve, and then we can unlock it. So I'll give you a few examples of this. Deacon Andrew really is meant to be a deacon. He's got that gift, and he's got the gift of service, but he doesn't have the technical gift of leadership. That's okay. He still leads, but not with that technical spiritual gift, and we need him to thrive as a deacon. Anna Lamb, she told me, she loves leading faith studies so much that she will meet with her participants when it's convenient for them, because she is just called to do that. Ron C., who sits over there, he's Mr. Hospitality. He serves 3 masses every weekend. He's just a big teddy bear who, yes, he is. That's why we call him Big Daddy. And he's a big teddy bear who gives God's warm, welcoming love to people. That's a gift. Jackie Chow, she loves and is talented at helping people discover their gifts, and she's going to help us organize the parish to do this. It's very exciting. A few months ago, before Alan Bolivar left, this young 23-year-old, he's so good at video editing. Whenever we had to show a video, and we always had to compress it and really make it tight. And we'd go to Alan, and he'd do it perfectly. And no one else could really do it that well. It's perfection. And I said to Alan every now and again, I said, Alan, do you realize that your gift is helping 1,068 people almost every weekend? That's really beautiful. And Vicky Chang, she's so seems to be gifted in prayer. I told her seriously, I said, Vicky, tell me what you're praying for, because it seems that God always answers your prayers. She's so in tune with God. Whenever she prays, it seems to happen. So I really want to know what she's praying for so that I can also cooperate with God. Our goal this season is that at the end of this, we can all serve, and we can all find the way that God is calling us to serve, our particular gift. So I want to end with what might seem like a funny story, but it's a good, true story, and it points to the fact that all of our gifts, every single gift that we have, is meant for service. In the year 1960, the famous Archbishop Sheen was flying to Chicago. And on the plane, a very beautiful stewardess sat down next to him. She said, "Do you remember me?" He said, "No, I don't. I should, but I don't." She said, "2 years ago on the plane, I met you. I sat with you for 20 minutes, and I remember every word you said." He said, "What did I say?" She said, "You began by saying you are a very beautiful girl, and do you know that of all the gifts that God gives, the one that he gets back last is the gift of beauty? He gives money, people use it for the poor. He gives song, and people use it for worship. When he gives beauty, he sometimes gets back nothing. So why don't you think of giving your beauty to people who have never seen anything beautiful? That's what you said." He said, "That sounds exactly like me." She said, "Well, I've had 2 years to think it over. I've made up my mind. I'm willing to do anything." He said, "When?" She said, "Now." He said, "All right, come to my office in New York, and I will tell you where you're going. I'll tell you now if you want to know." She said, "It doesn't make any difference." He said, "You're going to Vietnam. You're going to a leper colony." 10 years later, when he's telling this story, he said, this woman is still in Vietnam with a female doctor, and they have a Jeep. And they drive around picking up lepers, particularly under bridges, where they hide. And they love them, and they care for them. And he says, for the first time in their life, these lepers see something beautiful. And Sheen, Archbishop Sheen says, she, because of her love for mankind, her philia, that Greek word for human love, because of her philia, her love for mankind, she also now sees something beautiful. So this week, I want all the men here to find some beautiful women and say, "You're a beautiful woman. You're called to serve." I'm joking, okay? Don't do that. If we follow Jesus' teaching on humility today, if we follow Jesus' teaching on humility, we will stop making useless comparisons. We will be free to be like him, to take the last place and to serve and to find joy in that. Everyone has their gifts, and gifts are made for service.